Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. This week on the HR Power Hour, Mark Gonska, Vice President of Career Transition Services from Dyson Company in Cleveland, Ohio, will be talking about employee terminations, the deadly sins. You're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and on News Talk WLOB on 100.5 FM. And today we're talking with Mark Gonska. He is the VP of Career Transition Services for Dyson Company in Cleveland, Ohio. And we're going to be talking about employee terminations, deadly sins. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hey, great to be here, David.
Thank you. Thank you for being on. You know, I tell you, employee terminations are always one of those things HR just gets all worked up about. Of course, rightfully so. Talk to me about why you put together this presentation having to do with, you know, the deadly employee termination situation.
Sure. If I think of the most difficult things that a business leader has to do, one of them might be separating an employee. And people have asked me, how did you get involved with this type of a business? You're essentially the terminator. Well, I got fired a lot. And I found that it was pretty traumatic for me. My family had some dysfunctional habits. My wife and, at the time, six kids, they'd all had some terrible habits they've acquired. One of them was eating. Another was wearing of shoes in the wintertime. So each time that I got fired or laid off or was involved in a reorganization or the company decided they were going to go in a different direction and I was not, I got some unplanned transitional opportunities, shall we say. And that termination is so interesting. I'd say it's the second most costly mistake that a business can make. The first most costly might be hiring the wrong person. The second most costly mistake that a business or not-for-profit organization can make is the failure to take action on an employee separation when they really know that they should. So that's why we use the term the deadly sins, because there's so many ways that we can begin to rationalize or postpone or take all kinds of different steps that if we had it to do over again, we'd do differently. So that's the deadly sins that we're eager to talk about. Nobody wants to terminate an employee. I get it, but it's a fact of life in business, and when we do it, we need to do it with dignity, with respect, and from a legal standpoint, we need to protect our organization and, in fact, the rights of the individual that we're going to separate.
Well, you're absolutely right. This is one of those topics that when, you know, people say to themselves, oh, it's probably one of the worst things that I had to do. You know, I think about over the years the number of times I've been in a leadership role where I've had to terminate an employee, and with rare exception. It is an agonizing decision. It is an agonizing choice. It is something that you do sometimes have sleepless nights over. You do have to think about it because you're affecting somebody's livelihood. And I've always become under the belief that a company wants to do the right thing. There are very few exceptions to the fact that they don't want to do the right thing, but it's hard. And you always say, well, we'll give them one more try, or they have like an angel moment, right? Suddenly they're an angel for a day, and you're like, oh, they've solved all their problems. But no, right? I mean, it's not necessarily the case.
No, it's not. And the angel moment is something that we all want to see when we are really procrastinating and avoiding doing the hard work. It's really a chance to show our true character as individuals when we really do the difficult things, the hard things well. It's easy to be a rock star when everything's going well. But when you have to make a tough decision, it takes a lot of courage. Winston Churchill said, it takes courage to stand up and say something. It also takes courage to sit down and be quiet. So when it comes to employee terminations, I think we need to have a real thick skin and that we're going to have to do what we're going to have to do, but we can also have a soft heart.
When you think about and you coach individuals on terminations, you know, what are some of the things that you tell them to think about when they're getting ready to make those types of decisions at the front end?
Well, getting ready is a critical issue. So many times in my profession, and I've worked with 8,000 different people being terminated, and a lot of times I'm going to get a phone call, as I've got even in this young week, that says, "Mark, we're going to terminate Toxic Tom, and we need you to be here at 8:30 tomorrow morning." And so one of the things I'm going to ask is, well, what's going on? What happened? Well, the big boss, he said, Tom's got to go. I said, really? What are the problems with Tom? Well, how much time do you have? We've got all kinds of issues. In fact, Tom's been nothing but trouble since the day he got here. Well, when was that? That was about 12 years ago. I mean, it's a crazy thing. So let me ask you, do you have documentation that would clarify Tom's sins and his performance problems? Well, when the big boss says it's time for Tom to go, we don't have time for documentation. He's got fire in his eyes, and we've got to get it done. So one of the first things that I'm going to recommend is that you're not ready until you're ready. If there's a performance issue, do you have a performance improvement program? If you do, then let's get Tom going on that performance improvement program with clarity of the expectations, clarity of what will happen if he meets or does not meet those expectations, and the timeline. That's what a performance improvement plan is all about. And unless there's some egregious, dangerous situation, we've got to follow our policies. Documentation, an issue in every one of these circumstances, because it's firing somebody is not as easy as saying the Donald Trumpism, you're fired. It's a legal procedure as well. And if you don't have contemporary documentation, and that means documentation that you've put together over time and you've kept in Toxic Tom's particular file, I don't mean the forensic stuff you tried to create last night to try to build your case. That's no good. If you don't have contemporary documentation, then you're not ready to pull the trigger with Toxic Tom.
So you're talking about performance evaluation, and you know some companies have reviews, some people don't do reviews, some people will say, hey, you know what, I can fire them at will. You know, this, for example, might be an at-will state. You know, I don't have to have documentation. What are you talking about, Mark?
Well, I live in an at-will state, and so the theory and doctrine of at-will employment says that you could terminate an employee at any time for any reason or for no reason. Well, that sounds good in theory, but the fact of the matter is, at will or not, I want to make sure that I'm very thoughtful with the proverbial ounce of prevention and legal review with a specialist in labor and employment issues, because even if I think I've done this for years, every one of these terminations can be very difficult and take on a life of their own. For instance, in the last 30 days at Dyson Company, where I work, we've been called on to serve as expert witnesses in the appeal of a $28 million claim. It was a jury award in 2008 for wrongful termination. $28 million of a particular company in an at-will employment state that terminated a guy who said the only reason he's being asked to terminate people is because they're too old. Now, if you Google his name, you will see this $28 million award, which is money that he doesn't have, so he's virtually unemployable. And imagine the impact on the company, on the employer, when that Google reference comes up. Do you think that makes it tougher for them to find new talent in this tough time for talent? Sure it does. But the bottom line is, you have to suspend your disbelief that this termination is important and it's worth doing the right way, even though you've perhaps done this many times before. There are certain things that you need to do and certain things you just can't do. And there's only one thing, I guess, David, that would be, well, there's a couple of things that are more expensive than good legal advice, and that would be cheap legal advice or no legal advice. $28 million more expensive.
Well, you know, it's so true. It is so true that, you know, people have said, and I've heard it, you've heard it, I can terminate them for any reason. But in reality, that's just not realistic today. We do live in a litigious society. We do live in a situation where anybody can sue for any reason. And, you know, having that argument just doesn't hold water when you're in front of a jury or if you're in front of a judge. It's just you have to have your ducks in a row.
Well, to add insult to injury, here's the proverbial jury of your peers, and the company brings in five attorneys in Armani suits. It was actually the worst thing they could have done, because every one of the people on the jury has perhaps had somebody who's lost a job. And here's the big bad company with deep pockets, and they proved it by the number of slick attorneys they brought into the equation, and they're paying a huge price for it. But the issues are more than money, but the money certainly can wake us up to say we have to take this seriously.
So before you terminate somebody or before you make that determination, you have your ducks in a row, you have your paper in a row, what's your stance on one more chance? One more chance.
There's a difference between what sounds humane to do and procrastination. One of my favorite musical artists is Tom Petty. And I'm a pretty enthusiastic singer, but only to myself. God has given me the opportunity to sing all kinds of notes. Unfortunately, I sing them generally at the same time. So when it comes to procrastination and the one more chance issue, I'm going to try this. Tom Petty line, maybe you can help me with this, David. The waiting is the hardest part. Ready? The waiting is the hardest part.
I'm going to leave it to you. I'm going to leave it to you on that. But that was actually pretty good, by the way, Mark. Very,
so,
very, very good.
The one more chance. If you think that nobody else on the staff is seeing that Toxic Tom has had one more chance and then one more chance and one more chance after that, if you think no one else is watching, you're kidding yourself. If you think no one else hears the scuttlebutt between this type of procrastination, which is, I mean, one more chance sounds humane. Procrastination sounds pretty rough because it really weakens leadership. And if we show that Toxic Tom can make it here okay and leadership does nothing about it, we're probably going to lower the level of performance expectations to Toxic Tom's level. And that's going to have a significant cost. The big performers are disenchanted because Toxic Tom can skate through. So one more chance. Yeah, everybody needs the chance for some redemption, but don't let one more chance become one more chance this week and one more chance next week.
You talk in your presentation about a couple of key questions you should ask yourself, and I'll rattle them off, and I'll let you give some thought, talk about them. One was, does the person put energy into me or suck the energy out of me? Second question, if I coached him for 6 months, would there be any real long-lasting change? And then third, would I hire him or her if I were doing the search today? Three really great questions.
We call those the questions we need to ask when we're trying to decide when it's time to say goodbye to Toxic Tom. So if we don't think about these things in some concrete terms, we can decide, well, I'll think about this. I'll get to it. I've got other issues that are more pressing. And I think these three questions are very clear and very straightforward. Does Tom put energy into the organization? Is he contributing? Or is he actually, would we be better off without him? In the one more chance mode, if I really put my effort and I don't have a lot of spare time, but maybe I retained an executive coach, do I really think that there'd be any substantive change in Toxic Tom's behavior? Or let's say that he's the corporate controller. If I looked at five other corporate controllers with a great background, really hire a guy like Tom and keep him on board? Or do I think that's, I'd probably hire anybody like Tom. If I said, you know, when he's coming by, when he's coming down the hallway, everyone kind of scatters or puts their nose in a spreadsheet. The question is, what's that kind of behavior costing from a productivity standpoint, from a cultural standpoint, from an employee engagement standpoint. So if I'm asking the tough questions, and I really have to understand, these questions deserve to be answered. So that's why I frame them up in those three simple points.
We're talking with Mark Gonska. He's the Vice President of Career Transition Services for Dyson Company in Cleveland, Ohio. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on Newstalk WLOB on 100.5 FM, and we will be right back.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour on Newstalk WLOB on 100.5 FM. And today we're talking with Mark Gonska. He's the Vice President of Career Transition Services for Dice & Company in Cleveland, Ohio. Mark, we're talking about employee termination, deadly sins. And that's a heck of a topic. You know that? Because it really is, in fact, probably one of the toughest things that an employer has to do each and every year or 2 years or whenever they have to do it. It's really a tough thing. And I you know, I think you'll agree, before we get into the sins themselves, that I think employers and supervisors really do take this seriously. It's not like that's something they just do because they're you know, they have to do it. It's because they really put some time into it, at least the employers that I deal with. Do you see that?
I see it as a tough thing all the way around. It's a difficult, difficult decision because these are employees that we have some history with. Perhaps we're the one who hired them in the first place. We know their families. We know what their kids are up to. Maybe we know some financial obligations that they have. Maybe we even know some HIPAA-violating health issues that they have. And so all these things work against us taking action on a termination in the way that perhaps we should. So the business leader can really have sleepless nights on this.
No, they really can. And look, you are right. You know, it's a family. We talk about that when people leave. It's, you know, they're leaving a family. Is most of the research shows that next to death, you know, leaving an employer can be taken as hard as separation from a family. So it really is taken that way. And I know you've seen it over the years. You know, maybe you can give a little recap about, you know, you've been there for how many years at Dyson Company now?
I'm just getting started, actually, David. I've been here 20 years.
20 years. So 20 years at Dyson Company. You said over 8,000 people you've worked with in terms of them being separated. What are some of the common threads you see, you know, when people are leaving on the employee side? What do you see them, you know, them saying and how they're treated and how it really matters? Kind of talk to HR professionals of what you hear.
Sure. I think there's some common reactions, and interestingly enough, some of the people we think will be the loudest and most vocal sometimes have very little to say. I tend to try to want to draw them out and get them to verbalize some things. Some of the times, the quietest folks get very animated. So I've had all kinds of things happen when an employee gets that news, and strangely, that's how I meet most employees on their last day of employment. Well, I've had threats. I've had physical violence. But probably more often is the deer in the headlight look that says, "I can't believe this is really happening to me." So that's a common thing. And oftentimes, what comes next is, "Well, why me?" When it's really Susie who should. She's the one who should be leaving. I've been doing all the work. Nobody knows how hard I've worked. And I did the project just last month, and we got real accolades with that. You got to reconsider. This can't be right. It's disbelief.
Well, you know, we can understand it's an emotional moment. And I think that's certainly why they look to professionals to help them, right, in regards to terminations and take that moment and help them move forward, right? I mean, that's what Career Transition Services is all about.
Typically, the logistics of this might be that the direct supervisor or business leader gives the bad news. Tom, this is going to be a difficult conversation for you. We're going to have to make some difficult choices here by cutting some personnel. We've made other choices. We've left some open positions unfilled. We've reduced our travel expenses. Unfortunately, we're going to have to bring our expenses in line with our reduced revenues here, and that's impacting your position. So today is going to be your last day here at the ABC company. There's no easy way to say that. And so I think there's a strong case to be made for providing a severance and some separation benefits that say we're going to give you salary continuation through August 15th. We're going to subsidize your health care as we've done previously until that time. And we'll also provide you with some job search assistance. And I think it's a pretty good idea. It's a wise practice. And I haven't seen it done that often, David, but if you total up all the dollars involved with the severance and separation, it can be a pretty significant number that the company is really offering. And there'll be a separation agreement that has a waiver and release of claims that's going to say we're going to give you or offer you some benefits that we don't have to give you, and in exchange you're going to waive some rights that say I will never sue you. So it's an interesting equation, but you make it much more impactful if you say salary continuation and job search assistance and medical coverage. The total of those benefits between now and August 15th might be $37,362. Put that number in the agreement, and then Toxic Tom has to take that home to Mrs. Toxic, and therefore we're going to have a number to look at, which I think can be a pretty compelling reason to execute the agreement.
Well, you know, you and I have spoken about this before in the fact that, you know, that is after the shock and the shock and awe of the situation, money is one of the first things people think about. It's like, holy cow, I'm making X number of dollars. Typically, unemployment doesn't pay what, you know, you're going to be making as an employee. And I have bills. I have things I have to deal with. And these are one of the first things. And to just leave somebody not having someone to talk to about that is a potential risk.
Well, there's risks on many sides. One of the risks that we have today that we didn't see 20 years ago when I got started with this is social media. If Toxic Tom decides to blast his now former employer with the way that he got the shaft on the way out of there, that could have some devastating effects with reputational issues for the former employer. So one of the things that I do as a career coach is I help Tom understand that that could make him virtually unemployable if he decides to tell all his Facebook friends how he got the short end of the stick at the ABC company.
Well, you know, Facebook, Twitter, all the different social media places have changed the game, because what you may have said years ago now is broadcast across the area, and you know, and it can hurt our reputation. You know, last week we spoke to Peter Lowe, he's an attorney for Brown and Isaacson, and he talked about company reputations and how to deal with this. This is another risk prevention for company reputations, correct?
It is, and the challenge, it's a cliche, but it could take 20 years to build a strong reputation and one tweet to ruin one.
No, you're right. You're absolutely correct. That 6 seconds to read it changes everything. So, you know, you've come up with what we call five deadly sins, as we said. And I thought what we'd do is go through them a little bit here. We've talked a little bit about some of these, but I think it's important to kind of bring them together so that HR that's listening to the show today, or business owners who are listening to the show today, can kind of really hone in on these five key areas of concern and deal with them. So the first one is, and you know, it's funny in your presentation for those who obviously are on the radio, it's Popeye kind of running. It says, "I can't stand no more." So explain that a little.
Well, the Popeye principle, David, is the notion of reacting rather than acting intentionally in an employee termination. And I use the iconic Popeye, and we can all remember one of his famous phrases. I've had all I can stands, I can't stands no more. And there are plenty of people who feel like Popeye, and at that point, we have some brain chemistry issues that we get into a fight-or-flight mode, and we're not thinking clearly because all of the blood has gone away from our brains and into our large extremities. It's a defensive mechanism when we're really totally juiced up, but it keeps us from thinking clearly. So one of the worst mistakes we can make in terminating an employee is reacting rather than acting. So if Hank or Toxic Tom or Toxic Tammy, whoever it might be, or let's say there's no performance issues, but we're just going to have a reduction because we can't afford to keep these people or our business needs have changed, whatever the reason might be, we've got to avoid the deadly sin of reacting, because in most cases, we will live to regret that. Reacting in an employee termination, regardless of what else has gone on, is like fighting fire with gasoline. It can make a tough situation so much worse.
And that is one of the, we would call, cardinal sins. I mean, you never want to terminate someone in anger. You never want to be in a situation where you just reacted and get out, you know, you're fired, get out, you know, without really thinking through or having the thought process prior to. And yes, there are times, and I think you know as well as I do, that, you know, terminating with no paper, no anything is okay. It's, you know, maybe it's theft, maybe it's whatever it may be, something so horrific at that moment. But even then, you should pause, think it through before you actually terminate the person.
Earlier in my career, I used to call this a corporate divorce, because it really is the change of a key relationship, the employment relationship. And you wouldn't enter into a divorce without giving it careful thought and consideration because of the significant consequences. So this is way too important to just react regardless of how you feel. It's not about feelings. We've got to get beyond our feelings, get both feet on the ground. And sometimes that's just the smartest thing to do, as cliche as it might sound. Is even if we feel like saying goodbye to Toxic Tom today because he really blew it, maybe we say, tomorrow I'm going to be thinking about this with a clear mind. I'll deal with this tomorrow. I won't wait for 100 tomorrows, but I'm going to deal with this tomorrow when I've had a chance to think it over.
Well, I think this also goes back to HR having to deal with a boss, and you kind of brought it up in your example, which says, hey, you know, the big boss says he must go now. And how does HR or how does a CFO or someone who's in that kind of role, how do they push back and how do they get that big boss to understand, yes, but let's do this right?
That's a great question, because when everything goes okay, HR gets no credit. If anything goes wrong, HR can easily be blamed. And I think this is a critical issue for the human resources leader. This is a time when you're literally in the spotlight and you've got to conduct yourself with professionalism and getting a sense of, you know, well, this is my domain. This is my specialty. So the CEO might be the smartest woman ever from a sales standpoint or a financial standpoint, but chances are they're not HR leaders. And so I think you have to invest in that relationship with the CEO ahead of time. And you have to let them know that you are there not just to do the deed of giving the termination message, but you're there to protect them, the CEO. You're there to protect and steward the organization as a whole. And to do that, there's going to be a protocol that, despite the feelings that we have to get this done right now and fire Toxic Tom in this minute, we're going to follow a protocol, because the best way we can keep ourselves from a move that we could later regret is to act rather than react. And that's a tough time when you're going to have a heart-to-heart conversation with the CEO and say, I understand how you feel. And you've got the corner office and the Armani suit. I get it. But there's things that you can do that you should not do. And one of the smart things you did was hire me. I'm the human resources leader, and I can help you in this human resources issue. Let's work together on it.
That's great advice, Mark. And we're talking with Mark Gonska. He's the Vice President of Career Transition Services for Dyson Company in Cleveland, Ohio. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB on 100.5 FM. And we will be right back.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis, as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Dale Carnegie Main. And you're listening on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM. We're talking today with Mark Gonska, and he is the VP of Career Transition Services for Dyson Company. And we're talking about the employee termination, deadly sins that happen. Mark, we've talked about in the last segment, deadly sin number one, I can't stand it no more. Deadly sin number two, we talked a little bit about it in the first segment, but I think it's good to recap. The waiting is the hardest part. So, you know, I think you're right. I think one of the challenges with leaders is, you know, today's never a good day, by the way, neither is tomorrow. God, we got this project that's due to the end of the week, and well, you know, probably would be better if we waited to the end of the month, but, you know, actually at the end of the month, it'd be a little harder because it's, you know, kind of the end of the quarter. So maybe we should wait for the first week of the following month, but God, I'm on vacation that week. And the week after doesn't look so good either. So maybe we should push this out to July or October. What do you think? Do you hear that?
Well, it sounds a lot like the right day for me to start a new diet. Always tomorrow would be a better day than today. And then tomorrow, well, then I've got something big coming up. And maybe after the... No. Okay, we call this deadly sin the manana syndrome. Waiting and procrastinating. And really, I think there's a couple underlying psychological moves there. And one says, I don't like to think about this, so I won't. I'll put it off until tomorrow. And hope without any real reason that things are going to get better. And it's just not a good thing, because the costs are very, very difficult to sustain. The trick is we can easily overlook them. Or have we lost revenue or productivity because we didn't terminate Toxic Tom when we should have? Are we really undermining our own credibility as leaders if we wait and wait and manana and tomorrow and just procrastinate? I think the biggest cost is the weakened perspective of leadership. And you really don't have to channel Tom Petty and keep waiting and waiting. To avoid this kind of procrastination, get together with a trusted confidant and plan out a timeline with your process. If there's a performance improvement plan that's supposed to be in place, start it today. Doing nothing about Toxic Tom is probably the most costly thing we can do.
You mentioned the process, and before we move on to, you know, deadly sin number three, companies should have a consistent process, and they should have a process by which they use. I know that some would argue that, well, every circumstance is different, and yes, that's true. However, to make sure they go through a checklist or some sort of termination process, I feel, and I know you do as well, is kind of critical to ensuring that they're covered and that they're, you know, that they're treating everyone equally and fairly. What's your take on that?
Not every situation is the same, but every time we can apply the process uniformly, we put ourselves in a stronger standpoint. Even from a psychological standpoint, if I say to myself, this is our policy, well, that might sound cliche, but what if I use the policy and apply it exactly the same way, no matter who it is? If it's my brother-in-law, I have got the policy. If it's a long-tenured employee, I've got the policy. If it's somebody who's only been here for 90 days, I've got the policy. So I have to be really thoughtful about what that policy is and seek some good counsel with people like your organization who work with these types of policy and procedure issues so they're clear, so they're so we can execute on them, and they're defensible in a court of law.
No, you're absolutely right. And, you know, to this, to your point, you know, you as well as I know, we work with family-owned businesses, and it is sometimes a real challenge and discussion point of how to deal with, especially a termination of a family member. And that's a big deal for many different families, but they do need to still have a process that they go through, even though it is, albeit probably a lot more emotionally charged than it would be with necessarily somebody else.
Well, the family business is a fascinating enterprise to me. And a lot of times it's a generational issue. The founding generation worked hard, and by the sweat of their brow and the scruff of their neck, they put a profitable business together. I'm thinking of one right here that sports a family name. And the matriarch of the family really saw this not just as a business where they could sell candy in this case, and they've done it extremely successfully now for 40 years, but the matriarch also saw this as a way that she could support her children and her grandchildren. And so guess what kind of titles those children now have? They're all executives in the company. And some of them work hard at it every day, and some of them only show up whenever they feel like it. Yet they all have executive titles and executive compensation. So it's easy to look at how we could map this out, but in practice, there are lots and lots of issues, because regardless of what the policy is, if grandma undermines this when they go and cry to her, then our policy is going probably needs to be handled by somebody else other than a family member, because it's just not likely to work.
All right, we've talked about the first two deadly sins. Let's talk about the third, and you call it dangerous delegation. Talk to me about that.
Sure. David, one of the worst things that we could do in dealing with an employee termination is delegate to somebody else to essentially chicken out. It's not something that I want to do, so therefore I'm going to assign this or delegate this to somebody else, and maybe this would be a great time for me to get the heck out of Dodge and go visit a customer or take a vacation day or have a real critical issue that's going to get me as far away from this as I possibly can, because I just don't, I can't stand the thought of it. But delegating is one thing, but dodging bad news is a bad idea, and it can lead to some disastrous consequences. Really, as a business leader, we've got to stress the notion that doing the right thing the right way at the right time requires some courage. But I can't delegate the dirty work to somebody else at all times. You really show your true character in the hard times, not the easy times. Now, you can have a soft heart along with a thick skin, but it's not the time for me to disappear. And in fact, I'd say just the opposite. I think you should make this termination meeting when you're there as the business leader and where the direct supervisor of Toxic Tom is going to be involved as well, because she or he needs to know exactly all the dynamics of what's going on here. And part of it is feeling the discomfort of the termination.
Well, you know, I think that there are some people that would say, but I'm not as good at doing those type of things as X, Susie, right? Susie, the operations manager. Hey, you know, the HR leader should handle that for me. The, you know, really, really, they work for somebody else. You know, any other type of, if you want to call it, excuse, right, to be able to do that. Is there ever a time, or is there a way to assist them in that situation when they are generally emotionally maybe not as easy or capable of doing that?
Well, I think there are some critical ways that you can help, and one of them is to use a script. Because one of the things that people have the toughest time with is, what am I really going to say? What will I say when it's time to say goodbye to Toxic Tom? And what if Tom gives me the question, why me? Why not Sally? Can I move to the packaging department? Can I do something else? You don't understand. I've got a kid that just, we just signed a contract for a private school, or we just bought a new truck. There's always going to be an issue. What do you say? You can anticipate what some of those reactions will be, and you can spell out exactly what the script should look like. And I'm not saying you have to read the script, but I think it's probably a better idea than freestyling and letting emotions run wild.
Well, you know, that can be an emotional situation, and certainly I agree that if they're, especially if they're new, right, or there's somebody who hasn't done this a lot, I think it is important to have some scripting or some you know, specific information they can provide, because it fits with your fourth deadly skin, which is, you know, dealing with a lawsuit, as you call, can you spell lawsuit?
Sure.
You know, because if it's not done right, and it's not done in a way that's professional, you know, I'm sure you're going to agree with this only because it makes a lot of sense, but I've had attorneys tell me many, many times, it is not necessarily the fact that you're terminating them. It's not necessarily the fact that they're getting fired. It's how it was delivered really makes the huge difference in whether or not they're going to come back and sue you.
Mm-hmm. And that's I think that builds a strong case for having outplacement assistance on site at the day of the termination announcement. It's not pleasant to be participating there on site. But as an outplacement practitioner, I don't have attorney-client issues, so I can go over the logistics of how who's going to say what and how Toxic Tom will be exiting the building, and I can set up a meeting with Toxic Tom the very next morning to get him started on his job search. I can call him that evening just as a check-in, and maybe he doesn't even answer my call, but I'm going to leave a message, and many times people have said that that's helpful. One of the things that I do in that termination meeting to try to avoid potential issues that later end up in a lawsuit is I'm going to talk through with Tom exactly what he's going to say to his wife when he gets home. I'm going to talk through the things that he should do and that he shouldn't do when his emotions are running wild, and he's likely to do something that he might later regret. I'm going to help him with that on the very day of the termination. And it's hard to tell how much he's going to think, how much he's going to absorb, but I think it's a unique and esoteric talent to be able to engage Toxic Tom at that moment that he's getting bad news and really win him over that there's life after the ABC company, and I can help him get there. Now, regarding lawsuits, it brings me to one of my favorite characters of my childhood. Deadly Sin number 4 is really, can you spell lawsuit? Sure you can. It's being penny wise and lawsuit foolish. So Mr. Rogers is a hero of mine. You can picture him in your mind in his red sweater. And candidly, despite all of Mr. Rogers' kind and thoughtful advice, you really do have to take a hard look at what the legal ramifications of a termination might be. And one of the things I would always encourage someone to do is write job search assistance or outplacement into a separation agreement. Because when they do, even if Toxic Tom never took advantage of it. If I had my way, I could also, I'd ask Toxic Tom, if I was your attorney, hey, the ABC company was willing to provide job search assistance for you with an individual who's helped thousands of people get new jobs faster. How come you chose not to take advantage of it? So there could be some mitigation even if outplacement isn't used. So I think from a lawsuit standpoint, providing job search assistance and outplacement is more than the right thing to do. I think that we're making a statement about the culture and the values of your organization. You mentioned earlier, David, that it's not so much getting fired, but it's the way that it got done. And I've heard that over and over and over again. No one really listened to me. I couldn't get answers. They didn't even thank me after all the years of service that I had. This is what I get for working all the overtime and working through vacations and this type of thing. It's a issue where there's got to be some careful listening being done, and sometimes that's best done with a third party. A strong outplacement provider works with human resources, works with business leaders, works with attorneys to make sure that this is going to be orchestrated and it gets it done right. I mean, let's face it, business leaders and HR people have dozens and dozens of different projects to work on at all times. In outplacement, this is my specialization. This is what I focus on. And I want to make sure that it gets done right, whether it's the details of the scripting, whether it's the logistics of how Toxic Tom will exit the building, whether it's the message that we're going to give to the remaining employees, I hate to use the term survivors, whether it's helping Tom explain this to his spouse, reminding him about social media and how that it could really be a bad idea for him to slam the company on social media. But more than the negatives, being there and to talk with him that there's really life after the ABC company and I can help him get there, seems to mean a lot.
We're talking with Mark Gonska. He is the Vice President of Career Transition Services at Dyson Company. We've been talking about employee terminations, deadly sins. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB on 100.5 FM. And we will be right back.
Running a company can feel like you're surrounded. A key person quits. A big project presents itself. You need good people fast. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Our contract staffing service will fill a position or find the right talent for a short-term project. Hundreds of companies choose us because we deliver people that fit. Career Management Associates, your contract staffing solution. Go to cmacareer.com.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Maine.DaleCarnegie.com. And you are listening to Mark Gonska, the Vice President of Career Transition Services from Dyson Company, and I talk about employee terminations, deadly sins. Mark, we've talked about the deadly sin so far. I can't stand it no more. The waiting is the hardest part. Dangerous delegation. And, of course, we've been talking about can you spell lawsuit. And, by the way, for all you millennials, you may need to Google who Mr. Rogers is, just so you'll know that. All right, you've been talking about a lawsuit. You have some tips where it's okay to say something, it's not okay to say something when you're dealing with a termination. How about sharing those with the audience?
Happy to do so, David. And many people are saying, if I have to terminate somebody, I don't know what I could possibly say. And there are some things I'd recommend. It's okay to say that your position is being eliminated if it really is. It's important to say that the decision here is final. I don't want to leave somebody dangling with false hope that somehow we might reconsider, they might get another job in the organization. If that's the case, I shouldn't be terminating them in the first place. I think it's important to give an unemotional reason for the separation. Just give them a sentence. We're reducing our headcount. We're reducing our costs to bring them in line with our reduced revenues. Our business is down. We have to cut costs. Unfortunately, no other costs are left to cut that'll have the same impact as people. We've done A, B, and C. It wasn't enough. Give an unemotional reason for the separation because they'll always remember what you told them. Really important, don't let the boss say too much. Script this out, practice it, you HR leaders, and keep the boss in tow. I know that's a big challenge. It's also okay to say that we are not going to contest any unemployment compensation that you may be entitled to. The employer does not decide whether you do or don't get unemployment comp, but it's fair to say we won't contest it. It's fair to say, Tom, we recognize your 12 years of service, and I think it's important to say we appreciate those years of service, and we wish you well.
On the not side, because obviously you've talked about what it's okay to say, what are some of the things that you really encourage, you know, professionals that are doing this not to do?
As you might imagine, I have a couple of pet peeves here. One of them is when the big shot, big business leader in the corporate jet and the corner office starts out by saying, "This is really hard for me." That sounds very disingenuous because she gets to keep her big job and paydays and all the perks. So having Toxic Tom hear how hard it is for the business leader really sounds that's the wrong thing to say. Even though it may be difficult for you, this is a conversation with Tom, not about how hard this is for you. And there's some obvious ones. I don't want to use the, you were really great employee back in the day. We might find another place for you, so you never know. I'd like to avoid some cliches like, it's not so bad. This could be the best thing that's ever happened to you. I'll tell you, when I heard that from my boss, Paul, who was saying goodbye, he said, "This could be the best thing that's ever happened to you." I felt like grabbing him by the throat. It felt a lot like the worst thing that was happening to me when I knew I had to go home to my wife and kids and explain that despite the fact we'd relocated across the country for this job, I was now toast. So avoid saying to somebody, it's not so bad, when one door closed. No, don't go with cliches. Just nod. Just care. Obvious things like, you look pretty young for your age, so you won't have any trouble. No. Don't make silly references like that.
Those are, in some cases, common sense ones, but you're right. Sometimes that doesn't happen. Well, the last sin here, as we wrap up in the next minute or two, you have is just do it. Just pull the trigger and get out there and make it happen. Talk to us about that.
Well, Michael Jordan sold a pretty important slogan for Nike, and that was just do it. But when it comes to employee terminations, that could be the worst idea yet. I don't care how many years you've done this. I don't care how many people you've met with to say goodbye to them. Don't wing it. Don't do it without planning. Don't do it without legal review. Don't do it without proper documentation. Don't do it without describing and planning out the logistics. Don't do it without outplacement support. Doing this right can cost a fraction of what it costs to do it over. So measure twice, fire once.
Well, that's great advice. As we head into the last part here of the HR Power Hour, how can someone reach you, Mark?
Well, thanks for asking. They can reach me at my website, which is diseco.com, diseco.com. They can reach out to me with an email mgonska, M-G-O-N-S-K-A, at diceco, D-I-S-E-C-O .com. And I am eager to be of help to anybody anywhere who's dealing and struggling with these termination issues. I believe in being on site and helping, and I will go anywhere to facilitate that.
Mark, thank you so much for being on the show. Of course, everybody can go to the HRPowerHour.com site right after the show, and you'll see the information for Mark here. You'll also have a link to this show in case you want to hear certain parts of it, and we'll have a direct link to reach Mark directly. Again, Mark, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Pleasure's mine, David.
Next week on the HR Power Hour, we're going to be talking with Commissioner Jean Paquette from the Maine Department of Labor and Pam McLaughlin, Director of the Bureau of Labor Standards. And we're going to be talking about the new rules of the FLSA. The Fair Labor Standards Act is going to affect all employers, whether they're public, private, or nonprofit. So let's listen next week as Jean and Pam discuss exactly how you should handle these new regulations. That's on the next HR Power Hour. Thank you for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 1310 a.m. or streaming live on WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.